The propers for today, our collect and readings, are filled with great stuff and awful stuff. Great that we're gathered together all over the world by God's Holy Spirit, and that we're called to show forth God's power. Awful that all the peoples even, do not seem to include everyone. Not the Amorites, that's for sure. God drove them out of the land. Not the unrighteous, they get rooted out. Indeed, only those who trust in God will not be punished. Great that God gives us this terrific wardrobe, armor. To what? Stand against rulers and authorities who apparently are part of the cosmic powers of darkness and forces of evil. Awful that we humans have so liberally interpreted exactly who those powers are, that we've used the sword of the Spirit at times in the most hateful ways and later repented of that. Great that Paul and Jesus have declared that it is the Spirit who gives life. Awful that Paul, at least sometimes, vilifies the flesh as worse than useless. That's the term that Jesus himself uses in today's gospel. In my possibly eccentric view, there's much more greatness and awfulness here. I do know all of it is what we call the word of the Lord. So where do I get off of that awful business? Maybe I don't get off anywhere. Maybe my job is to say that it's all great or wonderful. Well, I certainly don't have any quibble with Paul's request of his audience, and I'm happy to make it my own. Pray also for me so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. It would seem that he too was stymied at times with the scripture he had inherited, albeit in different ways than I am. It's that mystery of the gospel bit, meaning, of course, the mystery of the good news, that challenges us preachers and us Christians in general. There are people who do bad, despicable, unspeakable things in this world. Our challenge, that word again, is to see them all as children of God, first of all. That applies to the troublesome folks close to home who have the nerve to disagree with our opinions, though most of us think, like Peter Schickele in PDQ's book, The Seasonings, you can't have opinions about the truth. But it applies also to members of misogynistic, murderous regimes halfway across the world. Those damned Amorites. I didn't bother to look up the Amorites, nor do I remember anything about them from my studies, nor from having read these passages over the past 50 years. And I'm not apologizing for that. For the moment, I feel like I know as much as I need to for my purposes today. They were the bad guys, the Taliban, the Nazis of their day. It felt as good to hate them and vilify them and smugly proclaim God's vengeance on them as it does to say that about, you can fill in the blank for yourself, today. We love to do that. Always have, I suppose. Jesus used these folks, the despised ones, deliberately, either as examples of good godly behavior or simply as fellow human beings, despite their marginalized or outcast position in or out of society. Here's a short list of the ones that were recorded for us, at least. I'm sure there were many others. Head of the list, of course, and an intentional choice in a made-up story or a parable is the Good Samaritan, practically an oxymoron for the faithful Jews whom Jesus addressed. Good Samaritan, there was no such thing. Then, in real life situation, Jesus encountered with these folks, sometimes just talking with them, scandalous enough in itself, even touching them, unheard of. Women, in general, including a Samaritan woman, double whammy, an unclean woman, and so on and so on. The prodigal, thankless son, tax collectors, and others who collaborated with the occupying force, the Romans. The Romans themselves, at least one demon-possessed man, the poor in general, lepers, Gentiles again, generally. The point is that Jesus didn't seem to buy into, except for this group, or those are the evil ones, type of rhetoric. He called Herod a fox. Ooh. About Judas, he expressed sorrow instead of threats of retribution. He asked God to forgive those who nailed him to a cross. There are individuals who cannot, should not be allowed to circulate among the population at large. We all know that. There are people I myself choose to avoid. All of them, all of us, are children of God. We pray in today's colic that God will show forth divine power through the church, that's us, among all peoples. There are a couple of lines in the reading from Joshua that, to my ear, are echoed in the one from John. Joshua says about choosing among the ancestral gods, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the people around him say, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's the line echoed that I heard the echo in when Peter explained, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. I began by talking about the great and the awful in today's readings, or the wonderful and the terrible, if you prefer. Well, we're stuck with all of it, aren't we? Reflecting on it now, about the best I can do is to say that Holy Scripture provides us with proof that we human beings have always struggled with needing to categorize some people as evil categorically, or less than human, or something other than God's children. The shining light in all of this is the one around whom our faith is formed, the one whom we believe to have embodied in his person, the one loving creator, God. There is power in that, power not to vanquish our foes or those we identify as our foes, but by God's grace to change their hearts and ours, to cooperate in God's ongoing creation, still being formed, of love and peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.